America and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Teresa Sammons and Chris Deloge. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Pat may or may not join us later. We'll see how things roll. But in the meantime, this episode is going to be for August 21st, 2020. It is just a little over 1 week before we get into September. And dear God, I'm hoping it gets here soon, because I am sick of this shit.
Stop saying how close it is to the next month.
Yeah.
Time is stupid now.
Yeah, because of the way this fucking pandemic, it's like time has kind of lost meaning for most of us.
Like the first half of the month is slow, and then the second half just burns out fast.
Yeah. But, of course, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that, fall will be right around the corner. That'll still, take a couple more weeks. And of course, as we're always have to remind people, before summer completely disappears and we go into fall, we have to deal with a couple of weeks of asshole summer.
Mm-hmm.
And what is asshole summer? Well, imagine all the seasons are having a going-away party for summer, and at the same time, you know, and they have that, and then the next day they have a welcoming party for fall. But then summer shows up all drunk in the front door, and he won't fucking leave. And it takes about 2 weeks before they can finally stuff him into a cab and get him the fuck home.
Sounds like some of my Thanksgivings when I was younger.
Yeah, well, that's basically asshole summer. And we basically get it pretty much every year here in Georgia. So I am absolutely expecting the first week or so of September to possibly be among the hottest on record, because that usually seems to be how it fucking happens down here. Fingers crossed we'll go through yet another year without having to deal with a fucking tropical storm in the middle of goddamn Georgia. But, considering that this is supposed to be an especially active storm season, I don't really have my hopes up. But anyway, so things that happened this week we'll be going over. Well, the Democratic National Convention happened in a matter of speaking. Some of it was really good. Some of it was kind of cringy. But ultimately, it ended on a high note. And, well, we'll talk about it. But basically, all I can tell you right now is I actually kind of teared up a bit at the end of Biden's speech. And I am a stone-cold Marxist, and I have no illusions about the fact that electing him is suddenly going to bring us into some kind of awesome progressive utopia. He is the corporatist of corporate Democrats, and his vice president is a fucking cop. We all know this. I know it. You know it. But
he drives the right wild, so that's good enough.
Yeah. And I am expecting that he is going to win his election in November. I'm not taking, and again, I want to remind everyone, I'm not taking that for granted.
Oh, I don't think any of this is going to be, I think come 2 months from now, we're all still going to be scratching our heads and wondering who they're going to put in the White House. I don't think that we're going to know for a while.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a total, absolute shit show.
Yeah, but I will say that the one thing that I got from Biden's speech was a sudden small glimpse at the fact that there will be life after Trump.
There will be, and we need to make plans for it.
Yeah. And I think at that moment, I just suddenly realized how much stress I've been carrying on my shoulders for like the last 3.5 years.
Yep.
And God, it's going to cut. We come out of that tunnel, it's going to like we just suddenly woke up in the middle of Oz.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten so used to all this bullshit that when it's no longer the standard, we're all going to be wondering, like, okay, is this a dream and am I going to wake up at some point? Because this is fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, having people that aren't raving lunatics in charge will be nice. Yeah.
Just regular politicians, like, That's a fucking. That's gonna be a fuck. That it's a very small mercy, but it will be a mercy nonetheless. But anyway. So yeah, the DNC happened. Another member of the a former member of the Trump administration got his ass thrown in jail, or got his ass thrown in cuffs and put in the back of a cop car. Let's see. Trump's still doing stupid shit. Now it definitely seems like he really is circling the drain. And starting to wonder if this part with what we're going to be talking about later might be like the first thing of the noose finally tightening. And I've said that like 8 or 9 times over the last 3.5 years. And I'm probably going to say it again. But yeah. And then, of course, we got some other news. We got some Netflix stuff. Specifically some news about that zoo from Tiger King. And, yeah, we got some Marvel movie news as well. But before we get all of that done, as usual, we have to start off with what we've been up to this week. And so, Teresa, tell us what you've been up to this week.
Well, I've been playing Kingdom Two Crowns in couch co-op mode again. A little bit of Animal Crossing, not a lot, but a little bit. And we finished up season 3 of Rick and Morty. Just kind of hanging out waiting for season 4 on Netflix. No, Hulu. But it's coming out on DVD real soon, so that should be dropping. So we went back to regular show, and we're working on that. And maybe they're winding down. I don't know. It's a little weird watching the progression. Been watching like some random stuff on Disney, the new Muppets thing. I know we've talked about that on the show before. It's funny. And then I've been swearing at Adobe products, mostly Illustrator, because it just is what it is. And I'm back to work at one of my old contracts to call me back. So, and crazy enough, man, like I didn't forget it all. And I'm working on stuff that I worked on a year ago and thinking, well, I mean, nothing really changed here. I guess it's just a nice little pause. But yeah, not really doing a whole lot since it's my first week back. And like at the perfect time because my unemployment just ran out. So, I mean, I guess that's one thing that I had going for me in 2020 is that, you know, money-wise, that worked out, and a whole lot of other people can't really say that. So, which, you know, kind of sad, because I know a lot of people are hurting. But not much, honestly. Not much. But I did get an email today, and Ghost of Tsushima is on hold for me at the library. So,
get ready for fun.
Yeah.
That might not be a kid game to play around him.
Oh, but yeah. There's a lot of man ass in that game. So,
yeah.
Well, that and there's a lot of spurting blood, but I think you might be able to turn that off. But,
wow.
Yeah.
Jin does not care too much about being quiet in that sense.
No.
Huh. Yeah.
Only time he's clean is when he wipes off his blade on his sleeve to put it back in his little sheath thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's probably not going to be a problem. I mean, you know, kid's 13, you know, still. But yeah, he's not going to play it because I'm pretty sure that I'll only get it for a week. There's holds on it, so it won't get auto renewed. So what I want to play, I better get it done in a week. And so it's possible, but I could always borrow it again and then finish it then. So yeah. I don't think
that. Yeah, I hear him. Yep. He's here too.
I hear you, dog.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's it.
All right, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so weather-wise, it's been, it started off nice earlier this week, where I think one of the nights it was like 70s most of the day, and then it got into the 60s at night when I was leaving. I was like, this is pretty much perfect summer weather. And then today it was like 85 high. It's like, oh, nice roasting. I think tomorrow's high of 90. I think we're supposed to hit 94 on Wednesday. Wednesday is 94, 92 Thursday. And then it goes back down after that. So yeah, that's, we're going to have this like whole hell week before I hopefully tips over the edge and stays on the cooler side for a while. Because goddamn.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. But yeah, it's I did get one bit of good news this week. I got a raise to the so-called living wage.
Oh, so now you're making 15 something dollars?
Yeah, 15 an hour, which is like a good 30% increase in what I'm making right now.
Yeah,
which is like, oh shit. I even tried to do the math, like how much of a difference it is from what I'd been getting. It's like that's a significant amount.
Yeah.
So at least staves off my need to get a new job for a little bit longer. But now I'll be able to potentially ask for more money next time around.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like the one nice thing this year so far. Mm-hmm. So there's something from 2020. But yeah, as for other stuff I've been doing, I decided to watch Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Breaking Bad. Watched like the first couple episodes of Better Call Saul, and there's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll get back to this, and now there's like five seasons out. So I was like, alright, this is all on Netflix, so I'll just start going through this. And I'm in season two right now, and it is fantastic. It's centered around Saul Goodman, who at this point is named Jimmy McGill,
mm-hmm.
who is has been kind of a screw-up for most of his life, kind of a scammer-type dude. He runs scams with his friend to make mm-hmm. money. Kind of gets caught by the police at a certain point, and his brother helps him bail him out, but he has to kind of go on the straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. And ends up doing like a correspondence course to become a lawyer.
Yep.
Through the University of American Samoa. Which is like, oh, okay, sure.
Like, okay. It works, I guess.
So he's like, his office is in the back of a Korean spa.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically sitting next to the boiler in the back room, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of very much low key, kind of trying to do, you know, public defender stuff or
mm-hmm.
works towards finding other like legitimate paths, but keeps dipping into the seedier side of things. The second mm-hmm. episode is particularly good because he falls in with these two kid scammers that accidentally set their sights on the grandmother of Tuco from the first season of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Who is ready to pretty much kill him on a moment's notice.
Yeah.
And manages to talk him out of it in a pretty great episode. And there's Mike's in it. Conveniently somehow trying to make him look younger, even though that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone over the corner of being able to look younger at a certain point, but he has some great bits there as he's kind of dealing with the fallout of the death of his son, who was a cop, much like he was. And there's some stuff going on there, but he sort of dips into the seedy stuff as well. And one of the big surprises is one of the right-hand men of Tuco gets a prominent role here, and it is the guy that is the sort of voice actor and body model for Voss from Far Cry 3.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. I forget what his real name is. I think it's like Joe Vargas or something like that. There's Colin, the energy vampire from What We Do in the Shadows. He's in there for a few episodes. And he is pretty great as a guy who wants to, who's a complete fucking nerd, who tries to become a drug dealer by swiping pills from his work to sell to, you know, the right-hand man of Tuco, and managed to get himself into some stupid shit. That stuff is all pretty good. There's a good bit where Mike is like, you underestimated how much of a dumbass he is. with all this stuff. So yeah, it's just, it's a really good show. People should definitely check it out if they liked Breaking Bad and just never got to this, because there's a lot of great acting, a lot of good writing, and it fills in stuff that you didn't necessarily need to be filled in from Breaking Bad, but it's interesting sort of back-end stuff, and I believe Gus Fring comes into it at some point. Is this like a prequel to the original series? So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm just in the middle of season 2, so still got a ways to go, but it's been fun to kind of get into that show again, in that world. Especially because I'm not 100% sure like what time frame it's set at, even though I could just probably Google it and find out. Jimmy's brother is also a lawyer, a prestigious one that's a partner at a firm that's kind of one of the set pieces. It's kind of more about legal stuff as far as lawyers are concerned and all that. And he has a weird condition where he has like extreme lights and energy sensitivity. But the point where I'm at, he's kind of finding ways to lessen that sensitivity. So he's like able to go out for little bits of time, but also is like has to wear like weird like aluminum foil blanket around him at times. But he managed to like get that in the lining of his suit, so it keeps him like feeling more secure and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really neat kind of show. As for games, I had the fun of trying to install Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Good luck with that one.
It is kind of a classic MMO type situation where the installer is not that big. And it's like, you start up and you're like, okay, we got all this data for you to download them. Just tell me up front.
I did.
What's that?
I got a Windows Store error. I couldn't even try it.
Okay.
That's pretty ticked off.
Yeah, it gets you to the front. It's like, all right, we got 91 gigs we need you to download. Where do you want to do it? And I was like, what? 91 gigs? What the fuck is this? And so I started installing it and then realized it was installing to my C drive, which has like 15 gigs free. Even though it was claiming that it had 600 gigs free. I was like, I'd love to know where your math came from. Because that's not the reality of the situation. So I had to, quit out. It makes you start over again if you don't keep the game running. So there's like conspiracy, like, oh, they set this up so that you had to go past the 2-hour mark on Steam if you got this there. And so I got it downloading. And so the problem with downloading is it's playing music in the background. It doesn't give you any options for pausing or muting it until you actually download it. So like I literally had to go to the system, the Windows mixer, sound mixer stuff, and like just mute the app. Which is like, it's really stupid that you have to do that.
Yeah.
It kind of tells me that like they didn't have anybody actually go through this process. That somehow didn't come back and like, yo, like 2 hours of this fucking music is super annoying. We need a way to mute this. So I don't know what those people were doing, but so I let it start downloading before I went to bed. When I got up, it was like 39 gigs. So I was like, okay, that means it's probably not going to play until the end of the day, maybe. But then it got to like 41, 42 gigs, and then right before I was leaving to work, and it just quit the game, closed it. I also opened up something, another game, so I don't know if that automatically closed it, but I didn't think it should, unless the game is really that sensitive. But when I started back up, it's like, all right, here's your settings. So how do you want to set up your game? Like, it was already ready to go. I was like, how the fuck? It didn't download like 50 gigs in 2 minutes. What the fuck is going on? But it was like ready to go. That's as far as I've gone. I just set up like accessibility stuff and all that. So yeah, now that's, I guess, is ready to go, and I just haven't gotten around to actually playing it. So that was a whole weird experience, and it seems like other people have had issues. Like Teresa couldn't even really get to the game itself. Other people just having issues where it just crashed, which is what I thought I had happen, and it doesn't keep progress. Any of that kind of stuff. It's like, I installed it on my G drive, and it didn't offer to, like, just install the rest of the data there. So it's like, really weird setup. So kind of, for a game that has, like, $100+ editions, like, it feels more like an early access game in some ways. And but I believe it has, like, satellite data that it uses to populate a lot of the ground textures and all that, and they use it to, kind of like if you've used, like, Google Street View, where it does, like, approximate 3D models of stuff on the ground. Like, they had people actually go in and, like, build out that stuff a bit more proper so it doesn't look like garbage like it does on Google Maps does. But then I think I saw some people show, like, there's a skyscraper in Australia that's, like, completely flat. But it's, like, this weird obelisk-looking skyscraper thing. And it's, like, it'd be cool if they did some weird shit like that. Just put a bunch of weird landmarks, see if people could actually find them all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I haven't had a chance to play that yet. I've had a chance to play some Fall Guys. Won a couple games this week, which is pretty nice. Managed to not get enough wins in to get the Enter the Gungeon stuff that was up over the weekend. But they've said they're going to rotate some of that stuff back in the specialty costumes, so that'll be nice. But that game's still fun. They're still doing some tweaks and all that kind of stuff to it. So that's going to be a game I'm going to keep playing from time to time, because it's not too much time you need to invest to get through a session of that. But also been playing more Pixel Cross Adventures, which is the sort of Picross RPG that is on Switch from the other Pixel games that they've done. And this is Pixel, P-I-C-Z-L-E. So it's a little bit, spelled a little bit different, but getting some good progress into that, where I've gotten some more items, like a map that can tell me, like, hey, you've got this many puzzles in this area, so, you know, suggest you keep exploring, that kind of stuff. And it's one where you kind of go through different areas and you kind of pick up new items that allows you to explore others. Like, I think I still need, like, a torch or a flashlight or something, because there's some caves I can't get into because it's too dark. That kind of stuff. So that's been kind of it. It's kind of been just too busy with work all week. So I haven't been able to do too much, but that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, well, as far as the gaming part goes, I'm still playing Code Vein. I'm actually getting pretty close to the end now, believe it or not. God, this game, I finally now understand why this game sort of got the sort of big cult following that it did. Because, I mean, like people have said before, it's basically thirsty anime Dark Souls. That is absolutely what Code Vein is. There is no other way to say it. It is basically a Dark Souls clone that is wearing the clothing of basically every fucking weeb fetish known to man. Everything from the various clothes you can wear, the character designs, the designs of the actual enemies that you fight, one of the first bosses is actually being basically a giant stripper demon who has a pretty unusual resemblance to Hatsune Miku. And yet, the game is really fucking good. It's definitely a lot more approachable than, say, Dark Souls or Bloodborne is, because, for one thing, this game kind of eases you a bit more into the actual gameplay. And it also, it's a bit easier in some respects. For one thing, unlike in Dark Souls, if you die, you do get sent back to, like, your original checkpoint, for lack of a better word. But you don't end up losing half of your health bar, and basically have to make your way back to where you originally died to get the other half back. The combat is, like I said in the past, my big issue with the combat is simply that I have issues with, like, trying to figure out what my, with, like, depth perception. And the reason is because with, like, all of the old, with the Dark Souls and Bloodborne, your attacks usually, your character's attacks usually have a bit of momentum behind them when they slash the sword, so that, you know, they slash the sword and, you know, their body sort of steps forward with it. But in Code Vein, because, you know, we're still working on anime aesthetics here, you can basically slash your sword and you barely go forward. Now, on the one hand, that means that it can be a little difficult to know, like, where the hit field is here and where, like, how close or how far you need to be to actually hit your enemy. The good news, though, is that you have a bit more control over your character in between attacks. Especially if you're using, like, a one-head sword or something like that. So, like, you're not slashing forward and then, like, your whole character is rushing forward, and you're basically got to commit to going in that particular direction until, you know, the attack animation is finished. So there is that. That makes it a little easier. Also, unlike in Dark Souls, you actually have an AI partner that comes with you. And all of them are relatively pretty strong in different areas. So, you know, if you're losing against a boss, you know, just kind of experiment and switch around the partners you're using, and you might end up having a better chance. Oh, yeah, and boobs. There are fucking boobs galore in this fucking game. And it's anime aesthetic, so it's not normal boobs. It's those huge fucking gazonga boobs that, like, constantly move for some reason.
Ryoko ones.
Yeah. The ones where, you know, they're just standing still, and yet, because of the weird, like, jiggle bones in the animation, they're just weirdly kind of bouncing around for some reason. Yep. Yep, they're there. But otherwise, it's a genuinely fun game. I do highly recommend it. It isn't quite as, like, I guess, not necessarily infuriating, but, like, it isn't as overwhelming as, like, Dark Souls can sometimes be for a newcomer. It's a lot more approachable. Doesn't mean it's easy. It is so not. But once you sort of get your rhythm, you're able to deal with it all fairly easily. I'm also playing Bloodborne, like last week. Still getting my ass kicked. Still forget that I'm not playing Code Vein anymore, and I'm playing an actual Souls-like. And getting my ass kicked. But I will say, though, now that, you know, this is my second time around playing Bloodborne, I don't know if it was because, like, the first time I played it, but the first time you play Bloodborne, it feels almost insurmountable. And a lot of it has to do with just the overall aesthetic of the game. It makes it extremely, like, foreboding when you first start it. But once you sort of get your hand on the mechanics, it doesn't seem as insurmountable. And now I don't quite get that feeling like I did the first time I played. I'm not quite as, like, quite as cautious as I originally was, and that might be part of the reason why I keep getting my ass handed to me, but, whatever. There you go. Also doing my reading, as usual, and, pretty much, other major thing I had to do this week was fucking yard work. It's getting to be that time of year. Fixing to go over from summer into early autumn, and we needed to clear some stuff out, and, you know, before the leaves start falling and everything. And, amongst other things, we've had some relatively strong weather down here in Georgia over the last week or so. And because of that, one of the trees in our front yard fell.
Oh, that's a pain. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And when I say fell, I don't mean like it cracked in half or anything. No, it's because we've gotten so much rain that the soil got saturated and a gust of wind just kind of blew put over. So, had to deal with that this week, which meant we had to get the chainsaws out, cut it into pieces, then grind up the stump, and you know how it goes. But, yeah, so that's pretty much what I did this week. So, moving on from there. Anybody got anything else to add?
Nope.
No? Alrighty then. Well, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, today, actually marked a bit of a historical anniversary. And it's weirdly prescient because this particular topic has been kind of coming up again in the popular parlance again. 80 years ago today, Leon Trotsky was assassinated in Mexico. Now, you guys know who Trotsky was, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Famous Russian revolutionary, had a beard, kind of looked like Colonel Sanders on Crank. That was Leon Trotsky. Now, Trotsky was he was a Russian revolutionary. He originally was in the group that was known as the Mensheviks before he decided to switch sides and join up with the Bolsheviks, which, of course, was led by Lenin. Of course, in 1917, during the tail end of World War I, the people of Russia finally had enough, and they got rid of the fucking Tsar because he was an asshole. And then everybody thought that they were going to go into a new era of democracy, but no, the Duma basically decided, nope, we're going to stay in the fucking war, and everybody's going to fucking starve, because fuck it, we're the new leaders now. And as you can imagine, that did not sit well with a lot of the Russian people. Now, Trotsky is important in this part of the story, partly because he helped found what's called the Petrograd Soviet, which, for those of you who don't know what a Soviet was, a Soviet is basically a workers' council. It's basically where, you know, local workers get together, debate issues, elect representatives, and coordinate strikes. And Trotsky helped found the one in Petrograd. All of this shit happened, the Bolsheviks, led by Lenin, and of course Trotsky was with them, decided, you know what, you know, as Lenin himself said, you know, all power to the Soviets. They considered the Soviets to be the actual representatives of the Russian people, and therefore whatever they decide to do should be how we should go. And so both Lenin and Trotsky basically decided to have all of the surviving Soviets around Moscow to vote on whether or not they should go ahead and go forward with toppling the interim government and instituting the first socialist government in world history. They won the vote. So in October, they say October. It was actually November, but they went through the different kind of calendar. So it's called the October Revolution. But they basically got all the Bolsheviks to sort of just take over a bunch of buildings that need to be taken over. You know, they took over of the local barracks. They took over the communications hubs, all that stuff. They even got a battleship called the Potemkin, who sort of gave the signal to actually rush the Winter Palace, which they did. They snuck into the back door. They went up to Kerensky, the guy who was in charge at that time, and said, hey, fuck off, we're in charge now. And gold, that's the October Revolution. So after that, they basically were involved in a very bloody fucking civil war that killed millions of fucking people, many of them from famine. Lenin, who is one of my favorite figures of 20th century history, but I will also admit that he was a bit of an ill-tempered jackass, and he's kind of the reason how he kind of maybe inadvertently or maybe in it, he basically, Lenin is the guy responsible for founding one-party government in the Soviet Union. You know, there's the breaks. And he also founded the Soviet Union's first secret police organization, which was the Cheka. And yeah, it just it was a fucking – it was a bad time all around. But finally, the Civil War ended and everything was good. And it was like, okay, we've got – you know, Russia is completely in fucking shambles. We need to get all this shit together. Let's get everything and let's try and like get – you know, get some capital going, try and get some money in here so we can actually have the, you know, the monetary base to start building socialism. So they institute something known as the New Economic Policy. And this policy basically existed for the rest of Lenin's days. And it said that, you know, Lenin himself said that the policy should have continued for several decades. Unfortunately, Lenin died in 1924. And so there was a power vacuum in the Communist Party. And so there was a number of individuals that people thought were going to take Lenin's place, individuals like Nikolai Bukharin, who was a major theoretician in the party. There was Lev Kamenev, who was one of the big organizers. Most of them didn't think it was going to be this weird little dude from Georgia named Joseph Stalin. In fact, the only other person they really thought would probably have a big chance was Trotsky. And the reason was because Trotsky had managed to do the impossible and basically showed himself to be a fucking military savant, because he's the reason that the Bolsheviks won the Civil War, his leading of the Red Army. And so a lot of people thought, okay, so what's going to happen? Well, because of the New Economic Policy, there was a group of factions that started to form in the party. The Right Opposition, which was largely identified with Bukharin, who believed that they should keep the net policy. Then there was the Left Opposition, which was mainly identified with Trotsky, who said that we need to get rid of the NEP policy and we need to start implementing full workers' control and collectivization. And then you had the center, which was represented by Joseph Stalin. And here's the thing. Stalin was in a position that was known as General Secretary of the Party. Now, in Stalin's era and afterwards, the General Secretary would become not just the preeminent position in the Communist Party, but pretty much every Communist Party that would exist afterwards. Mao Zedong, General Secretary. Enver Hoxha, General Secretary. Xi Jinping, the current undisputed leader of China, he's both Premier and General Secretary and leader of the military. But when Stalin originally took the position, it was basically just a small little position where you basically assigned assignments to various people. People used to famously call him Comrade Card Index. But here's the thing. Stalin figured out that if he could get the people he specifically wanted into positions, that would mean that they would owe him a favor. And the people he then put in positions realized the same thing and said, you know, if I use my position to then get other people in for me, those people in turn would owe me a favor, and onward and onward. And ultimately how this ends is Joseph Stalin ends up becoming big fucking head honcho of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. He then purges a bunch of people, and he expels Trotsky from both the party and the country. And so Trotsky basically spent the rest of his life outside of Russia. He went around Europe. He went to Spain for a little while. He lived a little while in Istanbul and in Turkey. And ultimately, he made his way to Mexico, where he basically palled around with a bunch of intellectuals, may or may not have had an affair with Frida Kahlo. And ultimately, he sort of set himself up as the big anti-Stalin dissident in the communist world. He founded an organization called the Fourth International, which was meant to be a sort of both opposition and sort of eventual successor to the Third International, which was known in the popular parlance as the Communist International or the Comintern. And he basically spent the rest of his life constantly dodging Stalin's agents. He kept doing writing papers. He kept publishing books. He famously published a book called The Revolution Betrayed. Eventually he just sort of made himself as like a big sort of thorn in Stalin's side until finally, 80 years ago today, in, I guess it's, let's see, be around, I think it's 1930. One of Stalin's agents, a man by the name of Jaime Ramon Mercado del Rio, or Ramon Mercader, as he was famously known, managed to track him down in a villa in Mexico City, snuck up on Trotsky as he was talking into his dictaphone. And he took out an ice axe, and he fucking stabbed Trotsky in the head with it. Straight up, just funk.
Like, while it was recording?
Yeah. Nobody knows what happened to the dictaphone tape.
I'm pretty sure we know what happened to it.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing that they usually don't tell you about this story, though. Trotsky didn't die immediately. Oh, no, 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 no. Trotsky, who at this point was, let's see, how old was he? Who at this point was fucking 60 years old, got up from his chair, turned around, tackled Mercader, beat the ever-loving hell out of him, and managed to break his hand. All while this axe was still lodged in his skull, and he was bleeding from the back of his head.
Oh my god.
In fact, he got him so well that Mercader actually had to make a break for it, and he ended up fleeing. And then Trotsky's wife at the time came in, and Trotsky basically told him, yeah, I think Stalin's finally done it this time. I'm not going to make it out of this. His bodyguard, who was an American guy, I forgot what his name is, but he... was there. He rushed in. He saw, you know, Trotsky was bleeding out on the floor. And, yeah, he died, just like he ended up, dying, yeah, August 21st, 1940. He is actually, his grave is actually, he's actually buried in Moscow, as a, I mean, not in Moscow, in Mexico City, as it happens. In fact, yeah, here's his gravesite. Everybody can go see it if you just click on that link. But yeah, it's been preserved. His house is actually still preserved there on the, it preserved just like it was on the day he was assassinated. There's a museum there you can go and visit. There's a foundation that specifically exists to help further it, to help keep its upkeep. Trotsky himself was never formally rehabilitated until 1988. Despite, you know, the fact that, despite a bunch of other people, like, being rehabilitated after Stalin died in, I think it was, what was it, 1946 or, no, I think it was, like, 1953. Yeah, it was 1953 Stalin died. He would not be rehabilitated until 1988. Along with Nikolai Bukharin, I mentioned him earlier. Yeah, he ended up getting purged too. In fact, his last written letter that he wrote to Stalin before he was executed ended with the line, "Joseph, why do you need me to die?" There's a lot of debate over whether or not what the Soviet Union would have come about like if Trotsky had ended up becoming the successor to Lenin rather than Stalin. You want to know the truth?
Yeah.
Honestly, it probably wouldn't have been that different.
Yeah.
See, the thing about Trotsky is he was a bit of a massive jerk, even by Bolshevik standards. He was really opinionated. He was really self-righteous. Part of the reason Stalin managed to get the way he did was because he was actually very well respected in the party. See, Stalin was a longtime Bolshevik. He'd been there since the early 20th century. Trotsky, like I mentioned earlier, had originally been a Menshevik who switched sides to the Bolsheviks. And also, like I said, Trotsky was just kind of an opinionated prick, and he just annoyed a lot of fucking people. So, also when it comes to, like, all of his, like, writings and stuff about, you know, why he didn't like Stalin and everything, if you pay attention to it, you'll start to notice a theme is that he doesn't necessarily disagree with what Stalin is doing. He just thinks that he's going about it the wrong way.
All
which
right.
Suddenly makes it think, like, yeah, I'm not too sure if Trotsky taking over the Soviet Union really been any better.
Yeah.
For the Soviet Union to really have, like, become a much better place to live that wouldn't have to deal with, like, constant fucking repression and terror, basically two things would have to happen. Either Lenin would have had to have survived his strokes and managed to survive into 1930, or someone like Bukharin would have had to have taken over. With the help of individuals like Molotov. But the unfortunate truth is that, honestly, the Soviet Union just was not in any real shape to really become anything better. Because, I mean, again, the country was completely fucking wrecked after the Civil War. And, you know, all of that industrialization and mobilization that ultimately is what, you know, managed to drive Hitler out of Russia and back into Europe. That's kind of because Stalin was the guy behind all of it. And he ended up doing all that by basically just fucking murdering just thousands of people. So, and keep in mind, on top of that, the Soviet Union didn't really have any international friends. The only two, like, diplomatic recognition it had was from Revolutionary China, and I think it was Prussia, and that was it. You know, during the Civil War, like, a whole fucking bunch of countries, including the United States, basically sent in troops to help the white movement overthrow the Bolsheviks. So it was an isolated revolutionary country that was completely fucking razed to the ground. Honestly, it was kind of inevitable someone like Stalin would end up taking power. And that has been your feel-good bit of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Oh, so feel-good, huh, right?
Oh, yeah. But I do actually encourage anyone to read Trotsky's writings, because even if he was a bit of a bore and a prick, some of it is really prescient. He was probably the first person to identify the fact that fascism is essentially capitalism in decay. He was probably one of the first active people to identify the fascist threat and why it needed to be confronted, probably long before anyone realized how big of a problem it was going to be. But he was also an asshole. No reason to hide it. So, with that out of the way, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show. Well, no, that part's ended. No, we have to get into the show proper. Here we go, folks. Assholes of the week. And let's be honest, you knew who it was going to be. It's like a perennial fucking candidate.
Yeah, right.
First and foremost, the Trump administration is pushing ahead with plan to allow oil drilling in the Arctic Refuge.
Yep.
Because of fucking course he is, because now he's basically devolved into a fucking Captain Planet villain.
And I believe part of this is also, like, trying to muddy the water so that repealing this in the future would be much harder.
Yeah, because of course he is.
Which is like the, you know, the Scott Walker.
He kind of knows in his mind that he's going to lose, so he's basically going to do fucking scorched earth before he has to leave.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that seems to be what is going on there. But yeah, it's one, this for like oil drilling. Gas drilling, that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, this is the last thing we need to be doing right now. And yeah, it's just, it's almost just like them definitely not reading the room on any of this, because he's still, I believe, even with like the California wildfires, he's still pushing the whole thing of like, oh, they need to clean the forest. It's like, that's not how it fucking works, you idiot. It's because of droughts and shit in California that cause lots of dry brush and all that kind of stuff, and forests that are already there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they are just continuing to push this stupid thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with, like, their senators celebrating it and all that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it's, yeah, they're assholes.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Next up, Trump is planning to send out law enforcement to polling places for Election Day. Wow, that doesn't seem ominous.
Yeah, and it might not even be a legal thing to do.
Yeah.
Because federal law prohibits intimidation at the polls. Mm-hmm. It's illegal for any civil or military federal officer to order troops or armed men to polling places unless needed to repel armed enemies of the United States, which is not anything that's going on.
Yeah.
But they also talk about here that's part of this whole thing also comes from a 1982 decree that arose from a DNC lawsuit that accused the RNC of trying to suppress votes in New Jersey by, among other things, posting armed off-duty police officers at polls in black and Latino neighborhoods, which expired in 2018, meaning that this would be the first presidential contest since 1980 that the GOP presidential nominee and the RNC worked together on poll watching.
Mm-hmm.
Conveniently. So yeah, this seems like more bullshit they're going to try and pull for the election.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if I see any law enforcement in my polling places, you're going to fucking hear about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wait for that post on my Facebook page. You'll fucking hear about it, I promise you.
Just yell out as you leave, fuck you pigs.
Yeah. And I may or may not be in jail afterwards. Hey, I gotta get that arrest record started early. Next up, guess who got fucking cuffed and hauled off, caught his ass hauled off to prison? Steve fucking Bannon.
Yep.
Good news.
Oh, yeah, and for the dumbest fucking reason, too. So you know that whole We Build the Wall organization that had started?
Yeah, they had a big GoFundMe account.
Yeah. And everybody was fucking saying, this is a scam. This is a scam. They're just going to walk away with the fucking money. It's a scam. They kept saying, this ain't a scam. We're not even taking a salary. It was a scam.
Yeah. They built like a small portion of a wall.
Yeah.
That people like,
I'm pretty sure basically got blown over by the elements.
I don't think yet, but I think people are like, yeah, they didn't really do much to keep it up for too long.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was on his yacht off the coast of Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
and was arrested by, I believe, postal police. So yeah, the USPS did something good this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's him. Who are the other three guys? Let me see what the names are for these three idiots. Andrew Badalato, Timothy Shea, and mm-hmm. Brian Colfage.
Mm-hmm.
Colfage is an Air Force veteran, lost both of his legs and his right arm while on deployment in Iraq in 2004. So he's using his time afterwards for good things.
Mm-hmm.
The four men allegedly used sham invoices and accounts to cover their scheme, where they say they raised more than $25 million. And yeah, they, let's see, where's the, is alleged to have received more than $1 million from the organization by a nonprofit he controls. At least some of it was used to cover hundreds of thousands of dollars in his personal expenses. Which is like, what personal expenses does he have that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Hookers and blow.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah. It says the four men are each charged with one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, one count of conspiracy to commit money laundering, each of which carries a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison.
Mm.
And yeah, Trump tied to say he had nothing... no ties to any of this stuff, to which people have pulled out receipts of him meeting with them, at least one of the people from there. And I believe people also found a video that Bannon posted, or somebody posted of him talking about taking money from this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, smart people here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, he was able to make his bail. So he's actually out
I believe
now.
He's already pled not guilty on this, so.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Yep.
That means they can throw the fucking book at him and he can't enter a plea bargain.
Yeah.
Ah, it's going to be tasty. Well, but fortunately, to get that awful taste out of our mouth, we've actually got some heroes of the week. So the first hero of the week is the city of Akron, Ohio. So for those of you who don't know recently, Donald Trump decided that he doesn't like Goodyear anymore because apparently Goodyear is not allowing people to wear MAGA hats at their facilities anymore.
It's part of just a general, you know, don't wear political clothing.
Yeah, which, I mean, that is true, but let's face it, for him...
Well, it's because somebody posted a fake, slide from a supposed anti-discrimination slideshow, training seminar, whatever they do, that said, zero tolerance acceptable, items, Black Lives Matter stuff, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender pride stuff, unacceptable, yeah. Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, MAGA attire, political affiliated slogans or material, which, which they've said basically, yeah, that's not a slide that we use for any of our diversity training stuff. To be clear on our long-standing corporate policy, Goodyear is zero tolerance for any forms of harassment or discrimination. They have a work environment free of those. We ask that associates refrain from workplace expressions in support of political campaigning for any candidate or political party, as well as similar forms of advocacy that fall outside the scope of racial justice or equity issues. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty typical stuff that most companies have. So he was posting on his Twitter, don't buy Goodyear tires. They announced a ban on MAGA hats. Get better tires for far less. This is what the radical left Democrats do. Two can play the same game, and we have to start playing it now. Which is him advocating against American tires.
Yeah, because all the places that he said to buy from, like Pirelli is Germany, and I think Yokohama or Michelin... both Japan. I don't think he said Yokohama. I think he said Michelin.
Yeah.
Michelin is French.
They're all made elsewhere.
Yeah. So the punchline of this is that the city of Akron, Ohio basically said fuck off.
Yeah, their Twitter account from the Akron, Ohio mayor said, Goodyear has believed in this community for generations, investing in the power, tenacity, and honest people of the heartland, which is more than we can say for this president. # we stand with Goodyear.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a 134-year-old American company.
Yeah.
And he wants to try to drive them into the ground.
Yeah, it's one of those places that I was taught as a kid that, if they were going to nuke the U.S., Akron, Ohio would be a potential target because it's taking out our rubber production. A good chunk of it. Which is a fucked up thing to tell kids. Hey, they might nuke you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit. That's right near us.
That's adults, man. If they can tell a thing, they do tell a thing.
Yeah.
But the other hero of the week that we've got has to do with one of the speakers at the Democratic National Convention. Former House Representative Gabby Giffords. Gabby Giffords was the victim of an assassination attempt. She was shot in the head by, I have completely forgotten what that dude's name is.
Well,
all
we
I
don't
know
care.
Is, yeah, we... off his fucking rocker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She actually went into a coma, and people were wondering if she was going to make it out of it alive. She did. She survived. And she's basically spent the last, almost a decade now?
It's 2011, she got shot in the head.
Yeah, so it's almost a decade now trying to, recovering.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to walk again, being able to actually speak again, because she suffered some pretty nasty brain damage from that, hole in the head.
Yeah.
And, she still struggles, as this speech clearly shows, but, yeah.
Yeah, she says, some things like, today I struggle to speak, but I have not lost my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about how she speaks out against gun violence, even when you have to fight, even when you have to fight to find the words, that kind of stuff is It's a really good video. People should definitely watch it. Mm-hmm. It's a couple minutes long, so it's not too long, but it was one of the better speeches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, that is the end of that. Now we're going on to the proper show proper. And get ready. We got a small load from the COVID-19 dump truck this week, but it is still there. So, first and foremost, worldwide, there are now 22.8 million cases registered or, you know, identified with 797,000 deaths total. So we're almost getting to 800,000 people dead globally from this thing. And as for the U.S. specifically, 5.6 million cases have been identified and over 175,000 people have died. In fact, I think it actually got to 176,000.
The counter here is 175.
All right.
343,
yeah. Well, also keep in mind that these numbers that we're getting might actually still be on the conservative end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of them's my mom's former coworker. Is about 10 years older than me and worked in a nursing home and is now dead.
Yep.
Yeah, they had a woman whose father had passed away from COVID-19 speaking on the DNC, talking about how, you know, he was a healthy guy, had no pre-existing conditions other than trusting Donald Trump.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Trump is now, you know, he tried that thing with hydroxychloroquine and that fucking fell through. So now he's got another miracle cure he's touting, the incredibly toxic and poisonous oleandrin. And the reason he's saying this is because his buddy, the guy who's the CEO of MyPillow,
worst pillows ever.
Yeah. Who not only recommended it to him, but actually has a stake in the company that produces this shit.
Yeah, he was on Anderson Cooper's show talking about
and
this.
And Anderson Cooper fucking let him have it.
Yeah. Basically making sure, by the way, saying, like, you have no medical degree, you have no science degree, you have stake in this potential thing.
And he also has gotten into trouble with the Better Business Bureau in the past on multiple occasions.
The only reason anybody knows this guy or his company is because they're one of the only companies that stuck with Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Like anybody else of note dropped them at any point.
Mm-hmm.
MyPillow, it's the Fox News company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's gotten in trouble in the past for, amongst other things, apparently his workplace is among one of the worst to work at.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, the oleander plant that oleandrin comes off of is extremely toxic.
Yep.
Say here, all parts of the plant are poisonous. If eaten, it causes cardiac arrhythmias, irregular heart rates, can be lethal to both humans and animals. So the notion that anything derived from that can be a cure is not great, especially telling people that are gullible. Because we saw people that took his word on hydroxychloroquine.
We see how that
stuff
happened.
That even had names that were similar to it, even though it was fucking fish tank cleaner.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how this shit works. You don't drink anything that has it in it.
No.
That's not how ingredients work.
God
damn. Just like you got people drinking hand sanitizer and dying. Just because it has alcohol in it doesn't mean it's gonna get you drunk.
No. It's probably gonna get you dead, more likely.
Make it clean out, but it's only good for the people dealing with you afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it might not be that good.
Yeah. He's also gotten in trouble for making all these claims about MyPillow, including like it could possibly treat conditions like sciatica or fibromyalgia.
No, it can't. And it's a shitty pillow. I tried it. I mean, if you want garbled up pieces of foam stuffed in a sock, you know, yeah, okay, go ahead and try it. It's going to feel like shit. It's going to feel like you're sleeping on soft rocks.
Mm-hmm.
It's shit. Yeah. And it's full of memory foam, which is probably not the best thing to be sleeping on.
Yeah.
As opposed to latex. But that's an opinion.
Yeah. I've tried one of those things, and just no.
Mm-mm.
No. One night was all it took.
Yep. You know
I was like,
where it's
I am
at?
Getting my fucking money back. All right. And Pat's with us now.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
We were just bitching about pillows.
Yeah, I heard the initial call at the top of the show coming in, but I was in such a wicked state of sleep paralysis that I couldn't actually do anything about it. This week really kicked my ass. Oh my God.
It's been a long week.
It has. And, yeah, I feel okay now, so that's good. Mm-hmm. But,
good.
Basically, I was deceased the moment I clocked out of work, and oh, yeah. But yeah. I'm here now.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just finished with the COVID dump truck, so we're going to close out the garage, back at Buck Inn, and just let it leave there until next week when we will undoubtedly have a fresh load. We only had a small load this week, but it was a load regardless. Now, with that out of the way, it is now time to go on and get with the rest of the show. Of course, the other big major event that happened this week was the Democratic National Convention, sort of. Obviously, they couldn't do an in-person convention, so it was all digital, electronic, over a feed.
Which is maybe for the better.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't watch any of it. I feel a little bad about it, but like,
mostly watched clips.
It's fine. It was. They had its good parts. AOC only had 1 minute to speak, and she still managed to kill it.
Yeah.
And offended people by the notion of her, you know, saying that she nominated Bernie Sanders.
Procedural.
Yeah, it's procedural. Basically, everyone in the party had to do it.
It's like that's what they do in the convention. They say who they vote for, and whoever has the most wins.
Yeah, if this was in person, she'd be doing the same thing because, you know, she's representing her district and everything.
People getting offended about anything she does.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But ultimately, Joe Biden gave the acceptance speech at the end. And I'll just go ahead and repeat what I said at the top of the show. I actually shed a bit of a tear at the end of it, not because I necessarily like Joe Biden or even want to vote for him, even though I am, but because for a very brief moment I realized that there really is going to be life after Trump, and it's going to be really fucking hard to get used to it.
Yeah, and he did a good job of kind of taking down the notion that he has like mental issues for speaking.
Yeah, he put that whole... He put that whole narrative 6 feet under.
Mm-hmm. I said at the top of the show, again, after Trump is gone and Biden is president, it's going to be like we just woke up and landed in the middle of fucking Oz. Because it's going to be – we've just been so used to dealing with all this bullshit on a daily basis. It's going to be weird going back to a world where,
where you don't wake up and say damage report.
Yeah.
What the hell happened in the 7 hours I was passed out? Mm-hmm. What more are they doing to fuck up the world? You know, we hopefully won't have to worry about that. We'll just have to keep on what's being done about climate change and what's being done about everything else.
Yeah. There's going to be some repair work that's going to be need to get done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he did a good job because Trump was shit posting the whole time.
And Fox and Friends people actually said it was a good speech.
Yeah.
Well,
it's confirmation that they're now liberal trash.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about OANN.
Yeah.
All those fine folks.
People. Yeah. And that reminds me, where the fuck are all these people going to go after Trump is gone?
Hell.
Away, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, I'm going on.
Well, you're
on.
Nicer, Pat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we should never let a single one of those people ever walk free in the street again.
Mm-mm.
Never, ever, ever.
Well, unfortunately, we might have some news later about what's going to happen to some of them.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But, like, if you ever see Stephen Miller walking down the street, don't let him go unmolested.
Well, he's fucking a vampire. He's not going to be out in the sun for too long.
Yeah.
Well, then carry around a wooden stake if you need it.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing to do.
Oh, that would be such a news article.
If not to put in his heart, then just beat him in the head with it.
Random stranger threw garlic.
Yeah.
That would be magnificent.
Local bald man beaten with wood.
Yeah. No people wanted to help, but everyone was surprised.
Everyone claimed to be in the bathroom when questioned by police.
Bystander quoted as saying, "I am Spartacus." All right. So, other big news. Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling back the House to work on a USPS bill. For those of you who don't know, the fucking Postal Service is currently under siege because the Postmaster Chief is a giant Trump asshole, and he is very nakedly trying to wreck the Postal Service so that mail-in voting will not work well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually talked to my aunt. She's going to retire soon, thank goodness. But she said, well, we don't have a lot of mail right now, and we can't really figure out why. She said, locally, the sorters that got taken out of circulation were magazine sorters. And I'm like, well, Gail, we're a blue state. You know, we're not. She's like, well, I don't know that they're trying to do voting fraud, but she's under the influence. So, you know, I just very gently try to let her know things. But she said, well, I don't see why they said they overpaid for them in the first place. I'm like, well, that might be. She said, well, I think that they're just going to sell them off. I'm like, no, Gail, they're dismantling them. Part of your union is reporting this. And she said, well, why are they doing that? That's such a waste of money. And I'm like, I know. Isn't it? So,
If it wasn't even just the election, it's also the holiday season coming up. Do they want this before that as well as not? Is that the best use of your time? Making it harder for all the people that are working?
Yeah, and she went on. She said, I don't know why they're trying to privatize this. I said, I know. This is a service guaranteed by us in our Constitution. And I put these words out for her because I would like for her to repeat them in her circles. The Postal Service is part of the bedrock of America. It's so deeply ingrained and so critical. And, she said, well, there's millions of people working for the post office. What are they going to do about all the workers? And I'm like, that's a really good question.
You mentioned how the Postal Service is a bedrock of America's history. Well, there's also a certain phenomenon that's known to happen in the United States when postal workers get a little, postal.
Right? Right? That's so funny because we brought up her FOID in the same conversation. She's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so moving on from there. Also the Postmaster Chief has announced that he's going to be suspending all the changes until after the election.
Well, damage is done, though.
Yeah, damage is done. I mean, the silver lining is he can't really do any more. Or at least that's what he says he's doing. So basically, don't fucking trust him.
He was testifying before the Senate today. I don't know what came out of that, but even him saying like they're going to postpone this, like should be doing it at all.
Yeah,
we need the post office to be working as efficiently as it can.
Mm-hmm.
It could probably be better, but also it's not supposed to be a money making operation.
No,
it's funded by your taxes.
No.
And, go buy stamps, or they sell toys and other kinds of stuff on there. You can go buy some of that.
Yeah, I never thought that I would see the day where I needed to buy stamps to help keep the post office afloat.
Yeah.
I remember when stamps were 19 cents. I'm kind of old. Or was it 29? No, it was 29. Never mind. I'm so old, I can't remember numbers.
Well, that happens. I remember when Taco Bell, you could get 3 tacos for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're like a dollar each.
You know, I mentioned I started a job, so I went in Monday because I had to pick up my my equipment. I went to McDonald's, and a fucking Filet-O-Fish value meal was $9. $9! Am I out of touch for a fish sandwich and fries and Coke?
Yeah, might be a high traffic area, so they charge more.
It's Rosemont, so it's right by the convention center. So, but not right by it. It's within shouting distance, within taxi distance. But still, fucking $9.
Yeah.
Ah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Back to where we were.
Yeah. So moving on from there, the Senate have released their final report on Trump administration's aid from Russia.
Yeah, it says all the things we knew.
Yeah, it basically just spells it out and makes it official.
Yeah, talking about Paul Manafort, who was later convicted for financial fraud crimes, briefed Russian intelligence officer Konstantin Kilimnik on the campaign's polling data, how the Trump campaign sought to beat Hillary Clinton in the presidential election. He used that connection with Kilimnik was a grave in counterintelligence threats, adding that it found evidence a Russian intelligence officer may have been linked to the Russian government's efforts to hack and leak Democratic Party emails, you know, all this kind of stuff that we kind of knew about, but half the people in Congress denied any of it, including the president. It's a bipartisan report. That, you know, admits to pretty much everything we already knew.
Yeah.
From what the Mueller report had to say.
And yet the Senate still voted to acquit him.
Yeah. That's because...
At least. Yeah.
That's because most of them on the GOP side don't care.
Man, that's going to be something, though. What is life for the Republican Party going to be like after Trump? Hopefully it doesn't have one long... Well, I have a long one, but...
Exactly. Yeah.
See what the party has to do to rid itself of the stink.
Yeah.
Of Trump.
How many people are already trying? You can see it in bits and in fits and starts.
Yeah.
So up from there, so Trump announced this week that he was thinking of putting forth another presidential pardon. And it's like, okay, well, who's he gonna pardon? Is it gonna be one of his buddies? You know, is it going to be some random asshole? He decided that he was going to pardon Susan B. Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And the Susan B. Anthony Museum basically told him to suck a big fat one.
We don't want your fucking pardon. Go to hell.
Yeah, so her whole thing is that she was arrested in 1872 for voting before it was legal for women to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he exclaimed in a White House ceremony, "She was never pardoned. Did you know that she was never pardoned? What took so long?" Well, it was partly that Anthony would not have wanted to be pardoned, according to some historians who pointed out the activists did not think she'd done anything wrong. I believe in the whole... Yeah, here it is. Anthony wrote in her diary in 1873 that her trial was for voting was the greatest outrage history ever witnessed. She's not allowed to speak as a witness in her own defense because she was a woman. At the conclusion of arguments, Judge Hunt dismissed the jury and pronounced her guilty. She was outraged to be denied a trial by jury. She proclaimed, "I shall never pay a dollar of your unjust penalty. To pay would have been to validate the proceedings."
Yep.
To pardon Susan B. Anthony does the same. So yes, they denied it on her behalf. And yeah, she not exactly the person to go for if you're trying to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the women getting the right to vote.
Yeah.
The best one would have been having Hillary Clinton as president.
But, well, unfortunately, that won't happen.
No. We might get a vice president woman.
Oh, well, yeah. We'll be getting a vice president, and, you know, Joe Biden is getting on in years, so...
Yeah.
Hopefully that doesn't happen, but if it does happen, well... Oh, you get the TV show Veep.
Yeah, that's what the New York Post was saying when she was announced. Like, oh, she's the next president waiting. It's like, well, that's a fucking shitty thing to say.
Yeah.
We hope.
It's like, guys, he's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, right? And, like, he's not an unhealthy dude. He's, you know.
Literally, I've seen video.
He tries to be. Yeah.
I've seen video of him biking with some of his people, put next to Trump, having trouble walking down a ramp.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, who do you think is the one here that has physical issues?
Yeah.
And let's see. Oh yeah, this happened this week. Yeah, Stone Mountain, right here in Georgia. Yeah, a bunch of assholes decided to hold a pro-Confederate and I guess pro-Trump rally at Stone Mountain.
Yeah, the
3%ers. Guess who showed up to oppose them? Basically everyone else.
Yeah.
Because they were outnumbered like 3-1. And they didn't fucking back down either. They tore off Confederate flags. They, you know, just the stuff that needed to be done. They did exactly what needed to be done, and they did it well. And they ended up humiliating these fuckers and chasing them out of the town.
Yep. Yeah, it's a whole thing, yeah. There's a good video here at the end that's kind of about the Stone Mountain monument, like how it came to be and kind of how it would take a lot of work to destroy it.
Yeah. You know that thing they didn't finish that thing until 1970.
Yeah, that was another thing I saw in videos, like, basically, like, yeah, all these Confederate monuments, do you think, were put up during the time of the Confederacy? No, they were all put up in the early 20th century as...
They were put up during Jim Crow time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. as people were starting to get more rights, women and black people and all that, you know, as a sign to say you're not going to be good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, basically the thing about Stone Mountain is that it's not really a mountain. It's more like an enormous, like, it's more like a giant pebble that's sticking out of the ground.
Yeah, it's kind of the weird thing when they show, like, an aerial view. It's like, it just looks like this giant fucking, like, flattened marble that's just sitting on the ground somehow.
Yeah.
Like it might have been something out of space or something that landed there.
Yeah, basically, if you want to get that thing off of the side of that mountain, you have to sandblast it for like a decade.
Yeah.
Not saying it's not worth the effort, just, you know, you're going to be in for a ride. Alright.
There'll be people that sign up for that cushy job.
Yeah. Also, same shit went down in Kalamazoo. Once again... The neo-Nazi and neo-Confederate assholes basically got their asses handed to them, and they were absolutely humiliated.
Yep, the Proud Boys were the ones that were starting that one.
Yeah,
of course.
And the First Congregational Church hosted a vigil of anti-racism counter-protesters,
mm-hmm.
Sort of preaching, you know, peacefulness and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping to... keep fighting from happening, but it inevitably happened. The police decided not to show up for a while for some reason. But once things really started happening, they kind of got back in there.
Yep.
So yeah, nothing too much happened, just some white boys got their fucking shit knocked in.
Yep. Yeah. In these last days of the Trump era, we're going to really need to confront these guys like we haven't in the past. Like, straight up. Because it's not enough that Trump loses. We have to fucking bury these assholes.
Yes.
And make sure that they never again try to rise up like they did these last 3.5 years.
Oh, yeah. Roll up the newspaper, smack them in the nose real hard.
Yeah. We gotta do what we should have done at the end of the Civil War. Show these people that this is not okay anymore.
I was gonna go more for knuckle busters, but yeah, I think that might actually work better. It's more humiliating. Next up, Michigan. The state of Michigan has reached a settlement of over $500 million to settle the Flint water crisis, all the civil suits that came out of that.
Yeah, good.
By the way, the people in Flint, Michigan are still having issues with that.
Yeah, we need some sort of, you know, federal fund that's works towards getting rid of all of the lead pipes and houses with lead painting that get all that stuff replaced and taken care of.
Get the Army Corps of Engineers and get them to start, you know, yanking that stuff up and replacing it. And having, like, a reliable source of water in the meantime while they're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, can't keep just fucking around with this lead shit.
Yeah.
There's no point and, where it's okay.
That fucking governor, that guy who was the governor or mayor or whatever, is still walking free. So.
Yeah.
You know what to do. And I will just stop it there. But, yeah. So, I mean, you realize it's going to be decades for them to fully, like, get justice for all of this.
Yeah. Nothing's ever an easy thing.
No. All right. So, next up, we know now the DNC is over, so obviously the Republicans have to have their convention coming up, and we already know what some people are going to be speaking as. First... we've revealed are the McCloskeys. Who are the McCloskeys? They're those two assholes that you saw at that gated community waving guns at a bunch of protesters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like idiots.
You know how many people are going to dress up as them for Halloween?
Oh, God.
Right?
If there is a Halloween.
Yeah, if there even is a Halloween this year.
You know, whatever that is.
We wear masks during Halloween. There can be a Halloween, goddammit. I don't know. Maybe that's my line in the sand.
You just all get in the field.
In 2020. We need our goddamn candy.
Just paint circles in the park. Okay, yeah. Everybody get their costumes. You get in your circle. That's it.
Yeah.
That's your Halloween.
Yeah. Just to put a little cherry on the top of Bullshit Mountain, another speaker we now know is going to be speaking, Nick Sandman.
Oh,
who is Nick Sandman? Nick Sandman is that privileged little shit that you saw grinning his ass off while that Native American gentleman was beating a drum in D.C.
Yeah, he's been awarded a couple hundred more million dollars after the suit with the CNN and probably other places that haven't revealed the settlement terms.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all good.
I think he's, let's be honest, we know why he's doing this. It's because he's trying to...
It's the only notable people they can get.
Yeah, so well, that, and plus he's trying to kickstart his own grifter career and American conservatism.
Yeah, be the reverse version of David Hogg.
Mm-hmm.
Except a complete shithead.
Yeah.
Maybe be like a smarter... Ben Shapiro?
That's not a terribly high bar to cross over, but I get
the
point. No,
but it's a lot smarter than this next person.
Oh, yeah. Somehow, Laura Loomer won a GOP primary for a House representative seat in Florida.
Yeah, a woman who's banned off of Twitter, Facebook, PayPal, GoFundMe... Any Lyft, Uber, God, she's banned from so many fucking platforms.
Some piece of work, huh?
Well, she tried to break into Elizabeth, crap. What's her name, Brandon? Warren's house.
Elizabeth Warren's house, yeah.
In her house?
Yeah, she tried to open her front door over some protests, stupid protests. Remember she locked herself to the front door of the Twitter building to prove a point, and then she was told by the police it could only be the one door because she can't. It's a fire hazard to block the doors.
To prove the point that she needs a padded room?
Maybe, I don't know. She's an idiot. She's a racist.
Yeah.
And somehow she has beaten a... incumbent in Florida that has been around for decades in Palm Beach County District.
Mm-hmm.
Last time, the only Republican to ever run against her was in 2016, lost by 27 points. Somehow Laura Loomer beat her. Getting 43% of the vote, so not even a majority of people. 14,500 people out of 34,000 votes. As you said on, okay, this is the state of her existence on the internet. Typing in all caps, we flipped cancel culture on its head, Loomer wrote on Parler, a right-wing site similar to Twitter, where she describes herself as the, quote, most banned woman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't she proud?
Yep.
Yeah.
I bet her mommy's proud of her, too.
And Trump's proud of her, too. Congratulating her via a tweet on a platform she can't respond with. Great going, Laura. You have a great chance against the Pelosi puppet, he wrote. They say the odds are seriously against Loomer. And who knows? Who knows what the general election will be like for her? She could maybe end up causing them to lose a seat to a Democrat.
God, I hope so. All right.
We need some just desserts. Let's let that happen.
You gotta counter the QAnon crazy woman that we talked about last week.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, right.
Yeah. And now, in news of police being assholes, you guys remember that story about Masai Ujiri, the NBA player who got into a...
He's the team president for the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah. He got into a altercation with a cop outside of a courthouse.
Was it at the court?
Oh.
For the finals, the NBA finals. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not courthouse, the court, the actual NBA court. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
after they won the last game.
I don't know sporty ball all that much. Anyway, okay. We actually got body cam video from it now, and it just makes the police look like even worse than they already are.
Yeah. Because the...
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cop originally, like, made the case that Masai Ujiri was the one that instigated all this. The video definitely shows that's not the case. And that somehow he had been, like, physically abused to the degree, like, destroyed him.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, physically, spiritually, all that stuff. I was like, God damn. Mm. But Masai Ujiri's very much like responded about this, basically saying like, yeah, this is kind of what black people have to go through at the top of their game at all times, or else, you know, people will take advantage of them.
Mm.
But yeah, we've gotten this, and that should show that the suit the cop has filed against him should hopefully not last too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next up. Oh, man, this is just... It's just 2020 written all over it. Yeah. You know how people have always joked about how Canada needs to build a wall between them and us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, the U.S. is taking the initiative, and they're building a wall between Washington State and British Columbia.
Yep.
Yeah, well... The horrible joke is on us, is to keep us from leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this happens around an area called Zero Avenue, which is a flat straight road that runs parallel to the border on the Canadian side. It's known as a haven for smugglers. The road on the American side is called Boundary Road, and the two are separated only by a patch of grass. Until now, so the U.S. Border Patrol decided to stretch a border which stretches between the Pacific Ocean and the city of Abbotsford. To the north has gone berry-free long enough, so they're building a fence. Despite American officials referring to the project as benefiting both the U.S. and Canada, representative from the Canadian Border Services Agency said only that the fence is being installed on the U.S. side of the border, which is a wire barrier that will eventually span just shy of 2.5 kilometers. It's a far cry from the border wall the U.S. is building along the Mexico border, where the U.S. has erected 200 miles of wall under the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of the wall is fencing.
Yeah.
Because the other stuff has fallen over.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's the end of the political bullshit. We're moving on to the science and entertainment portion part of the show. And now for something that, honestly, I'm pretty sure has happened before, but it came up again this week. Death Valley may have gotten as high as 130 degrees.
Yeah.
This week. That, of course, is in Arizona.
California.
Oh, Death Valley, California. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a group
of... It's called that for a reason.
Yeah. There's a group of scientists that are looking over the data just to confirm it. And if it is confirmed, it'll be the highest temperature recorded on Earth for August. Any day in August. And I think the highest temperature ever is also in Death Valley. It was 134 degrees back in 1913.
Mm-hmm.
Which they describe here as, like, potentially a sketchy record.
Mm-hmm.
Because there weren't necessarily committees back then that could rigorously check that back in the day. As much as there is now, where they record all sorts of data. Mm-hmm. So that people can kind of double-check that stuff. But yeah, hey, 130 degrees, that's ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah. Next up in ridiculous, fire tornadoes are a thing now.
Yep.
That's just, those are there. Those yep. are out there now.
It was a tornado that was created in the midst of the fires that are going north of the bay in California.
Which, you know, they happen every year, but these are particularly bad. I'm not sure if they're quite as bad as they were last year, but
still, any sort of fire is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they call them pyrocumulonimbus clouds. Formed of intense rising heat, typically from a fire or a volcano. Fire tornadoes are created when the rising heat from a fire pulls in smoke, creating a rotation vortex above the blaze. And so I believe people in California got a weather notification for a fire tornado, which is the first time I think that's ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, 2020 is still surprising us.
Mm. Yeah. I'm just waiting for the plague of locusts. You know, the river's
running off.
That's already happened.
The river's running red. Once it starts raining frogs, we know the god we've offended and what we're going to have to do to get back on his good side. Namely, we have to part the Red Sea again and lead a bunch of Jews through it. But moving on from there.
Well, it seems like East Africa has had swarms of locusts this year, so.
See, the thing is, though, that's a normal thing in that part of the world, so. But anyway.
But they still don't have to like it.
Yeah. Next up, Joe Exotic's Zoo in Oklahoma, which, for those who don't know, Carol Baskin actually won custody of it. Yeah, it is now permanently closed.
The Greater Wynnewood Exotic Animal Park is closed for good. Current owner Jeff Lowe confirmed the news in a Facebook post.
Yeah.
Saying he's voluntarily forfeiting his USDA exhibitor's license.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in May, a federal judge in Oklahoma granted ownership of the park to rival operator Carol Baskin after ruling that previous owner Joe Exotic, now serving a 22-year prison term for crimes including a plot to kill Baskin, had fraudulently transferred ownership prior to Lowe taking over. In the post, Lowe claimed the USDA had folded to the pressures of animal rights group PETA, were making false accusations against him, and they reopened in May after being closed due to COVID-19. But is now permanent closed. I guess the new park in Thackerville, Oklahoma, will be a private film set for Tiger King-related television content for cable and streaming services. Yeah, I guess there's still that Nicolas Cage show.
Mm-hmm. I honestly, you know, let all the animals go and just burn it to the ground, salt the earth.
Well, let Nick Cage have his way first, and then...
Well, yeah, let him do what he's got to do first, and then... Scorched Earth.
Yeah.
Because I don't care who you are. I just want everyone in that fucking documentary to die. Except for, you know, the regular ass workers who work for Joe. All the other ones, though, yeah, they can all fucking die. But, anyway. So, here's, now something that's quite, well, magical, really. in, is this Sweden or Switzerland?
This is a Swiss town.
Swiss. Okay, so it's Switzerland. Okay.
Yeah.
Residents of a town in Switzerland got snow in the form of chocolate dust from a lint factory.
Yeah, it was, see, the lint in Sprungli Company confirmed local reports on Tuesday. It's a minor defect in the cooling ventilation in area making roasted cocoa nibs in its factory in Olten between Zurich and Basel. The nibs, fragments of crushed cocoa beans, are the base of chocolate. Combined with strong winds on Friday morning, the powder spread around the immediate vicinity of the factory, leaving a fine cocoa dusting. The company said one car was lightly coated and that it was offered to pay for any cleaning needed, but hasn't yet been taken up on the offer.
Yeah.
But you can see the picture in the article itself. Yeah, factory production was able to continue as normal, and the company said the particles were completely harmless to people and the environment. And the ventilation system has now been repaired. So, hey.
That's, God damn it, why can't we have something like this happen in the U.S.?
I think you guys would get Coke snow, Coca-Cola snow. I don't know if that would be good or not.
Yeah, fair enough.
Coke ice, these are pretty good.
Yeah, but in fine mist, that's...
Keep in mind, it might be nice. Yeah, it might be
It would be sticky, but...
Wash that shit off your car.
It's like, God damn it, it smells like Coke.
All right, next up. Patriot Act with Hasan Minhaj which had been regular on Netflix after 6 seasons, it has been canceled.
Yeah, unfortunate, but...
Yeah, a little sad to see it go.
It's a great show, though.
Mm-hmm.
He said on Twitter, Hasan Minhaj said, what a run at Patriot Act has come to an end. I got to work with the best writers, producers, researchers, and animators in the game. My 2 babies were born and grew up with the show. Thank you to Netflix and everyone who watched. Now it's time to return these screens to Best Buy. Because he's talking about the screens from the set.
That's funny.
They got 39 episodes out there since October 2018. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I heard a lot of people praise it as like a good one of those shows that's more kid friendly compared to like John Oliver curses all the time.
Yeah.
Some of the others out there, but yeah, his, because he also talks about just stupid, silly stuff that's kids that are in with the internet culture would know about. Especially stuff like Supreme and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully they get more. They do more stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And finally, last story for the night. We have rumors that Olivia Wilde is going to be tapped for a female-centered Marvel movie at Sony.
Yeah, rumored to be Spider-Woman. Huh. Which she retweeted an article or a tweet that was about that news with a spider emoji.
Yeah.
Seemed to hint that, it's probably going to be some sort of Spider-Woman thing or maybe Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
Yeah, she would probably...
And then, of course, all the usual suspects will be crying about WOMs in their Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah, and those terrible women-led movies that make $1 billion.
Yeah.
So awful. Just horrible.
It's a travesty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, everybody hated Spider-Gwen in the Spider-Verse movie.
Oh, wait. No, they didn't. They thought she was awesome.
Yeah.
They thought she was one of the highlights of the movie.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that that's like the wider pop culture introduction of her character.
Yeah. But, all right. So, I do believe that's all she wrote for this week.
Yep.
Yeah, so we got us to tell us a show, folks. So I'd like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or something you just want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just wait a few minutes. We'll be on there eventually. Eventually, we will be on all of them. Or at least that's the plan anyway. Also, we still ask you to join us on smashpad.com. We are currently doing some experimenting on some new ideas right now. So
yes,
we're going to have some of that be coming down the line. We'll probably be talking about it a little bit more on Sunday on the Day Zero update. But until then, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins. And for Teresa Sammons, Chris Elogi, and Patrick Mifflin, good night, sleep tight. And as I will remind you until then, remember to vote in November.